This is your nation, this is your land, this common future, this shared hope, land of reaping, this land of harvest, this is your land, this is our home. This is a great Southland of the Holy Spirit, land of red dust plains and summer rains. And in this sunburnt land, we have seen His love. To this great Southland, His Spirit's come. This is your nation. This is your land, this land of plenty, this land of hope. The richest harvest is in her people from age to age. His Spirit's come. This is a great Southland of the home.
Good morning on this Father's Day. I hope you enjoyed the music from Great Southland. I want to talk about that in a minute or two, but for the moment, on this Father's Day, and also the beginning of the time of celebration of creation, which runs from this Sunday through till the end of September. This is a time to, well, springtime. It's the best time to celebrate this kind of thing. It's also Father's Day. So we're going to light a candle to remind ourselves that Christ, the light of the world, is with us. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is with us. And we light a candle to remind us of that. And to remind ourselves that Christ isn't just with us, but we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we're now in the season of creation. So we remember that we are called to be Christ's love for all of creation. The season of creation, it's an annual Christian celebration. It's time for prayer and action for our common home, this planet, Together, the ecumenical family around the world unites to pray, to protect, and to advocate for God's creation. During the 2021 season of creation, there's a title for it. It goes through to the 4th of October from the 1st of September. And that title is A Home for All, Renewing the Oikos of God. The word oikos, it's a Greek word that was used pretty commonly in Jesus' time. And it means basically the home, the house. And there's going to be thousands of Christians around the world celebrating this. If you've got the email about this, there's a link there that talks all about the season of creation. It's a time to renew our relationship with our Creator and all creation through celebration and conversion and commitment together. We're going to join our sisters and brothers in the ecumenical family in prayer and in action for our common home. Back in 1989, ecumenical patriarch Demetrius I proclaimed the 1st of September as a day of prayer for creation for the Orthodox Church. And in fact, the Orthodox Church year starts on the 1st of September with a commemoration of how God created the world. We touched on that a little bit last week, didn't we? Now, the World Council of Churches have been pretty instrumental in making the special time a season for all of the church. So, following the leadership of Patriarch Demetrius I and the World Council of Churches, Christians worldwide have embraced this season as part of their annual calendar. Pope Francis made the Roman Catholic Church's warm welcoming of the season official in 2015. And now, in recent years, statements from religious leaders from around the world have encouraged Christians to take time to care for creation, to renew their commitment to creation during the month-long celebration. The Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of ecology, beloved by many Christian denominations, starts on that day of prayer on the 1st of September. So think about this, that through this month-long celebration, there's going to be 2.2 billion Christians coming together to care for our common home, our common oikos. Now I'd like to invite you to pause for a moment in prayer. Picture, if you can, in your mind, some place that's beautiful, some place that's healing for the soul as we pray. We thank you, Lord and God, for giving to us part in this beautiful creation. We come with sorrow and sadness that so often we people have treated the world as if it was there for us alone. We remember on this Father's Day that you are our Father. You gave us life. We pray for fathers that we know, sometimes wrestling with work and home schooling, sometimes separated from those they love by COVID restrictions. We hold them before you in our love. We grieve the extinction of species that we humans have so often caused. We ask forgiveness, but also the courage to care for your creation as you meant us to, as a father cares for his children. Help us care, Lord, for the vulnerable, the wounded, the grieving of whatever species, of whatever race or colour or sexuality. Help us, like a good father, to encourage and celebrate and protect the potential of our world around us. Help us love with your love, God. We grieve the self-centeredness that has so often exploited the earth as though we own it, and forgotten that we are put in it as gift of love to us and to the world. Teach us, Lord, to be a gift of love, to touch each part of your world with compassionate love, because we know you hold us in your compassionate love. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read to you this morning what might seem like a bit of a strange reading for this kind of theme, but I hope it won't feel strange by the time I've finished. If it does, you better let me know. But it comes from Mark 7. Jesus has just left Galilee, and he set out and he went away to the region of Tyre, entered a house, and didn't want anyone to know he was there. But he couldn't escape notice. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and she bowed down at his feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician woman. Syrophoenicians, they were the people who used to give the Israelites such a hard time. You remember the stories of David and Goliath, the Canaanites, the coastal people. These were the people who made Israel's presence in Galilee very, very difficult for the first few hundred years. So this woman begs him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." And she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs at the table eat the children's crumbs." And Jesus said to her, "For saying that, you can go. The demon has left your daughter." And so she went home. She found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Now, if those words shock you, those words of Jesus, they should. And you've got to think, Mark wrote this gospel and he knew this and he intended these words to shock. They were shocking to him. But these are the words that were used in his time of people who, in the Jewish people's minds, they didn't count. They were like feral dogs to the Jews. Well, to some of them anyway. In Matthew's accounting of the story, he notes that the woman has been persistently calling out her plight to Jesus for some time, and the disciples have regarded her as a nuisance to be sent away. And at the end of the story in Matthew's gospel, Jesus responds to the woman's words with the words, "Truly, I've not seen faith like this, not in all Israel." So this woman, who in the minds of so many is only fit at most to take the crumbs that fall from the table, the woman who represents the people who are seen and looked at as no more than feral dogs, is the one who carries and is in a paragon of the greatest faith, the one who's most truly a loved child of God and deserving of God's benevolence. So, in our world, who is it whose life is plagued with demons and no one heeds the calls for us today? Think about demons in those days. Anything that was, they didn't understand it, they said, "It's a demon." Well, they had no other words for it. We know things like epilepsy and schizophrenia. We understand these things in a different way, but it's that which makes a person suffer, that which makes a person less than human, that which makes a person desperate, needy. So who is it whose life is plagued with demons today? God has gifted humanity with a beautiful and abundant world and tasked us with treasuring and stewarding it for the benefit of everybody. Through our God-given creativity and resourcefulness, we've done a tremendous job of tapping into that abundance. The last two centuries have seen extraordinary improvements in human health and productive capacity and life span, but sadly, the fruits of this progress have not been shared by all. While there have been benefits for many, hundreds of millions of people have been excluded and exploited. And at the same time, our quest for unconstrained economic growth has pushed the natural world way beyond its limits. Species are vanishing from the planet more than 100 times their normal rate. Oceans are acidifying and being filled up with plastic. Microplastics are in the air, in our food. Climate catastrophes like floods and fires and droughts and hurricanes are intensifying. And the climate crisis is already exacerbating poverty and hunger and threatening to displace millions of people from their homes. In the year before COVID-19 pandemic, 5.2 million children died of mostly preventable causes before their fifth birthday. 689 million people lived in extreme poverty, and 690 million lived in hunger. And as the pandemic swept the world, it was the poor who were impacted the most and had nowhere to go. Economic decline is forecast to push some 150 million people into extreme income poverty and double the amount of people facing acute hunger, while school closures and falls in family income may force 24 million children to drop out of school. The pandemic and the increasing impacts of climate change are compounding and exposing what's been evident for far too long: the way we have structured our society and the global economic system, it's broken. It's a reflection of our own brokenness. These fail to serve God's purpose for all people and all of creation to flourish. A dramatic transformation of our current systems is needed so that all people now and into the future have the opportunity to experience the fullness of life that God intends for us in Christ. So this is today's woman who is not even entitled to any more than the crumbs, if that, in everyone's eyes. But faith is about faithfulness. Food is about compassion. It's about justice for the world. It's about seeing the signs, not just looking, but seeing. Jesus' parading of the words used by so many shocks us when it comes from his mouth. It's not right to take the food for the children and throw it to the dogs. And it's meant to shock us. It's meant to shock us because Christ is in us and we are in him. These must not be the words of our mouth or our hearts. Have you ever noticed that this story we're reading from Mark chapter 7 is flanked in Mark's gospel by two stories about Jesus feeding the multitudes? The first is in Mark chapter 6. 5,000 people are hungry and tired and thirsty, and he had compassion and they were fed. And then on the other side of this story we've just heard, in Mark chapter 8, 4,000 were hungry and he had compassion on them. And in both, he gave open-heartedly and took the disciples with him in this giving, open-heartedly of the meager resources that he and his disciples had, out of faith, out of compassion. And in that faith and faithfulness, all were fed for one reason alone. Christ had compassion on them. Now hear the rest of the story from Mark 7. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and he went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged Jesus to lay hands on him. He took him aside in a private, away from the rest of the crowd. He put his fingers onto his ears and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed and he said, "Ephphatha," Aramaic word for "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened His tongue was released. He spoke plainly. And Jesus ordered them, obviously his disciples, to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He's done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Now, last week we spoke about not just seeing, but looking. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Paul said, "How can we speak if we do not hear?" In this season of creation, listen again with ears touched by the compassion of Christ. Look again with eyes opened by the touch of Christ. See and hear with Christ's compassion and Christ's love at all of creation. And don't just look. See. A blessing, and then I want you to listen to a piece of music. "The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures." At the beginning of this service, we listened to a song about the great Southland. I love this song, but it would be a terrible thing if we think there's some privilege for us that shouldn't be for all people, because that's not God. So, the Lord protect and keep you and all of creation. The Lord look upon you with love and upon all of God's creation. The Lord guide your footsteps in the way of justice and peace until the kingdom of heaven is come. Amen.